Taking notes. I know some of you do. Some of you like to listen to hfchurch.com for the podcast is on there as well. We archive our services. But if you're taking notes today, first of all, I want you to write down this scripture at the top, Psalms 37, verses 1 through 8. And then underneath of that, write 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the next passage of scripture is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And then I want you to write down 1, 2, 3, 4 underneath that. So essentially it's going to be an 8-point message, but so it's 4 and 4. And we're going to talk about the title of this message, and you'll see where I got my title at here in a little bit. But don't worry, it's for the birds. And there's not a person in here today or anybody listening on Church's Aid or listening at hfchurch.com that doesn't worry. So don't be sitting here and go, oh, this is for my wife or this is for my husband or this is for somebody else. I hope they're listening today. Every one of us worry. Every one of us have anxiety, some of us more than others. Some of us show our anxiety. Travis is back here going, are you sure this is not for my... He's back here looking. some of us show our anxiety and our worry and all those kind of things. It's very visible on us. Some of us don't show it, and it's just underneath the surface. We look like we're all calm, but underneath we're a wreck. That's I'm describing myself. That's the way I am. I try to, I've got this all figured out. I'm going to suck it up, and I'm a strong man of God, and I've got faith and all this, but underneath I'm just like, oh my gosh, what do I do, Lord? And Jada knows me well, so she knows when I'm not talking, and if I'm shut down, she knows I'm worried about something, and I'm concerned about something, so she's trying to pry it out of me, and that's how I process things. But some people are very visible with their worry, anxiety is what I'm trying to say, and some people aren't. It's just underneath the surface. They look like they got it all figured out, but really they don't. But we all deal with worry and anxiety. So look at somebody and say, you deal with it. But I want to hopefully through God's word and through some other practical things help you deal with it. Not cope with it, but deal with it better. Because bottom line, I'm going to tell you bottom line, if I could just give you a bottom line answer about worry and anxiety, it comes from a spirit of fear. And the Bible says in Romans 14, verse 23, that anything that is not of faith is sin. So worry and anxiety, bottom line, is sin. Look at somebody and say, it's sin. Okay, now here's the deal. You didn't come to church to get condemned or guilt-tripped, all right? Because even Jesus knew that we dealt with this, that we deal with this. He even said it on the Sermon on the Mount when he was talking to thousands of people, preaching and teaching the word to thousands of people. There's a passage in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, that he talks about worry and anxiety because he knows that we deal with this living on this planet. Aren't you thankful that the Lord knows what we go through? And we're going to see this in the Word of God. But first, there's one passage in the Old Testament that deals with this. And so this is Psalms chapter 37, verses 1 through 8. Anxiety and worry is the enemy of your walk by faith with God. It's an enemy. You've got to see it like that. It's the enemy of peace. It's the enemy of powerful prayer. And in Psalms 37, verses 1 through 8, he teaches us how to handle worry. And this is the psalmist David, and he gives us four things. And I'm going to show you these four things. And what I want to try to tell you today is, and I'm going to give you some more practical things here in a little bit, but... You know, worry and anxiety, I can tell you that when God called me into the ministry, I had so much anxiety and worry and fear about getting up in front of people. It was almost, debilitating. I mean, that's how much fear I had. I was just like, you know, and I was like, Lord, okay, why did you call me into the ministry if I struggle with it like this? I'm serious. There was times when I'd be up speaking and the fear would grip me so hard that I would be looking for exit signs because I thought I was going to have to puke. And some of you, you're like, you don't think I have any problems speaking in front of people? Baloney. I still struggle with it at times. And I have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you, you love me, you called me to do this, so therefore you've equipped me and you've given me the power over fear to do this. A lot of people, you know, they fear of death, and then the other one that's right up there is the fear of public speaking. And I was there. I mean, there was times I'd like, Lord, I would rather die than do this. And a lot of people, you don't know. I mean, I remember in college, I took a college class. It was such a fear on me, and this is before I knew the Lord had called me in the ministry. And some of you know me. I had got on stage up here in high school, and I was Curly in Oklahoma, and I sang songs and all this stuff. But in college, I had to get up and do a presentation in a marketing class one time. And before it was time for me to get up there, I excused myself from class. I skipped class. Now, I went and saw the professor later on. I said, dude, I'm sorry, but here's my presentation. I had it all prepared, but I was just scared spitless and getting up in front of the class and doing this. And he said, it's okay, Mark, but I can't give you an A. And I was like, that's all right. I understand. I'll take my C and go on. But he gave me he helped me and told me some things and gave me a grade anyway, but it was passing, so I just took it and went on. I was just like, I just don't want to do it. I'm sorry. And I was like, Lord, and even then in college, it bothered me. And then God called me in the ministry, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me, God. I'm the least that you need to be picking to do this. And I felt like Moses, Lord, I don't want to talk. And God helped me overcome that fear and is still helping me. And I'm going to show you some things from God's word, but I'm also going to show you some practical things as well. And no, I don't lather myself in essential oils before I get up to speak. But that may be some practical that you need to do. But okay, all right, everybody ready to jump into this? All right, Psalms 37, verses 1 through 8. I love this out of the English Standard Version because it uses a word, and this is why I chose this passage called fret not. So look at somebody and say, fret not. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. This is not a word we use a lot, and I'll explain it here in just a little bit. It says, be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So there's three times in that passage that the Lord talks about fret not. He says it in verse 1, says it in verse 7, and also in verse 8. And in verse 1 and 7, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 1 again. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Have you ever gotten to the point where you feel like, okay, God, I'm doing everything right. I'm tithing. I'm giving. I'm showing up on the coldest day on planet Earth to church. And I'm doing all the things right. But the people that are sleeping in, that don't give a dime to the church, that don't give a dime to you, that do all these things, they're doing better off than I am. You ever had those thoughts? Yes. All right, I have too. And then you go to verse 7, and he says it again, fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the one who carries out evil devices. And so basically what he's saying, David is saying in verses 1 and 7, because he had these same things going on in him. He was living for God. He loved God with all of his heart. But he was seeing people that didn't live for God that were prospering. And he was like, God, I don't understand this. And here's what you've got to do. To calm worry and anxiety in your life, you have got to stop comparing yourself to others. You've got to stop it. Look at somebody and say, you got to stop it. Quit comparing yourself to others. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know if they know the Lord or not. You know, we think we do. We're the judge and jury of everybody else's life. And God's just like, no, you live for me. You keep doing the right thing, and it's going to pay off in the long run. And everybody said, because here's what happens when you keep comparing yourself to other people. And I've done this before. In ministry, I'm just going to tell off on myself, because in ministry, I would compare myself to other people. And I'm like, you know what? I feel like I can teach and preach better than they do, but they have a bigger church than I've got. Can I just tell off on myself a little bit? And I'm like, then I get to crying and whining like, Lord, but I'm stuck in Leedy in my hometown. Can't seem to get out of here. And I have these I'm telling off of myself, have these pity parties all the time. And what happens is when I started doing I don't do it anymore. I love Leedy. This is where I'm supposed to be. And God's saying, Mark, God's told me a lot of good things about pastors that have larger churches. They've got more problems because they got more people. And I'm like, hallelujah. I'll stick with my 50 and go to heaven in Jesus' name. But all that God's asked me to do is be faithful where he's put me at. That's it. And the increase is up to him. It's not up to me. I've got to be faithful and show up and do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not saying I just sit back and do nothing. But here's what happens when you're comparing yourself. And I got myself hooked up in this a lot early on in my ministry. Is if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people and other things and stuff, it leads to verse 8. And it says, verse 8, David says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. What happens is it starts that anxiety and that worry and that comparison gets over into your life and it begins to seep into your relationship with God. And what ends up happening is you get mad at God and disappointed with God. And that's not godly. That's not what God wants. That's not God's best. God's like, I want to stay in a love relationship with you and be faithful, and we're going to work all this thing out. Quit comparing yourself to other people. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's the definition of fret. Fret has three definitions. One is constantly or visibly worried or anxious. Number two is it to eat or gnaw into. It's actually the word corrode. And so it talks about, in a sentence, the acid fretted the metal. It corroded the metal. And if you let worry and anxiety continue and fester in your life, it actually corrodes your faith, your peace, and your mental stability is what worry and anxiety does. And then the other thing that it does is another definition is rub, chafe, or irritate. And it talks about the harness strap was fretting the horse. So worry and anxiety will constantly rub, chafe, and irritate your faith walk, your peace, your mental stability. And we don't want that. And everybody said, okay, so we're going to look at four things that David told us to do, the psalmist. First of all, and these are all spiritual, okay, but I told you we're going to get to some more practical things here in just a little bit. Number one, trust in the Lord. It all comes down to a trust issue, who you're trusting. Are you trusting God or not? So trust in the Lord. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good, verse 3, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And actually in the Hebrew, that trust in the Lord and do good, there's no comma there. It all runs together. So he's basically saying, trust in the Lord and do good. No comma. And basically what that means is have faith in God. But faith, look at James 2, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Okay? A lot of people talk about, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. Well, here's a wake-up call. We'll live that way. That's action. Faith without action is dead. But faith with action is alive. You've got to put action to it. You've got to do good. And everybody said amen to that. Okay. So here's number two. Is everybody living right? Living good? Doing the right stuff? You've got to do it. You just cannot say it. You've got to live it. That's trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land of befriend faithfulness. And here's number two, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's talking about relationships, not talking about religion. It's talking about relationship. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then this leads you, and then you'll start, when you start developing this lifestyle, it's a lifestyle. It's not just, delight every day. You're getting up, delighting yourself in the Lord. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Then you're going to start finding out, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Psalms 23, verse 1. Then in Philippians 4, verse 19, he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. You might be taking your wants to God, but I'm going to tell you something about God. He is such a good father that he really knows what you need. But he still wants to give you the desires of your heart too. But he knows what you need. Sometimes what you're wanting is not what you need. And Father knows best. All right, here's number three. Commit your way to the Lord. This is Psalms 37, verse 5. He says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. So he throws in that word trust again. And I love in the Hebrew, Psalms 37, verse 5, when you study this out in the Hebrew, and if you don't know about the Hebrew language, it's a very colorful language. It means it paints pictures. And actually, what this commit your way to the Lord, it's actually means this. It's an analogy or a picture, a word picture of roll all of your problems and your ways and everything onto the Lord. And we have this phrase in life, don't roll with, you know, roll with the punches in life. And here's what I want to tell you. Don't roll with the punches in life. Roll them onto the Lord. Because if you're constantly rolling with the punches in life, you're going to be a worried, anxious, messed up person. And you need to roll those onto the Lord. I love these other passages of Scripture that go with this. Psalms 55, verse 22. This is David again. He says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. I want you to get this. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Never. Not, well, he, sometimes. No, never. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, and this is the Apostle Peter, and he says in verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. A lot of scholars think that, and I believe it too, that Peter was actually quoting what Psalms 55, verse 22 is, and also what Psalms 37 is talking about worry and anxiety. He says, cast all your anxiety on the Lord because he cares for you. And then Philippians 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And I want to put a little IE on this one. Because I used to read that, and I'm like, God, I have prayed myself sick about my worry and my fears. And the Lord began to correct me in my prayer life about, okay, yeah, Mark, you're worrying about a lot of stuff, but what you're bringing to me is just fear. It's all fear-based. You know, God, stop this fear. God, stop this fear. God, stop this fear. God, stop this fear. And he began to show me what I want you to pray for is the answer, is the solution. It's a whole mind change. It's a mind shift. It's renewing your mind according to the Word of God. Some of us are just talking about our fear all the time to God. And God is saying, I want you to start talking about the solutions. And I was going to share this a little bit later, but I feel like I need to share it now. Because what you think about, you prove. Let me explain that. If you're constantly thinking about negative things, something happens around you. You create, if you're going to let me use this word this morning, this aura around you, that you begin to bring in everything that validates that negative thought in your life. It's scriptural. God said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're constantly thinking negative, bad thoughts, worry thoughts, anxiety thoughts, then you're going to attract that. The first thing you see on social media is something that's going to validate what you're fearing. The enemy's going to put it in front of you. Or wherever you meet somebody in life and they tell you the story that you're fearing about. The enemy knows how to match those things up, so it just begins. Then you start having, instead of having faith in your faith in God, you start having faith in your fear. And that's not what God wants. So if you flip the script, if you're thinking about positive things and good things, that's what you're going to prove in your life. You're going to start seeing that in your life. So what you think about comes about. Look at somebody and say, what you think about comes about. It's all scriptural. I'm not teaching you some new age stuff. Jesus taught this. It's in the Word of God. And here's number four, be still. Be still. Psalms 37, verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself. And you might be saying, well, how do I, and I used to be like this, how do I be still? Because I know that faith without works is dead, so I've got to be doing something. And what God's talking about is what's going on in your mind, in your thought life. Stop comparing, stop questioning God, and stop worrying. That's how you be still. And just know that and wait patiently for him and trust him. Psalms 37, verse 17, I encourage you guys to go home today. There's not very much you can do outside, so you can read. So read Psalms 37 today. In Psalms 37, verse 17, it says, for the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. God's going to take care of you. Look at somebody and say, God's going to take care of you. Here's something else about about when I said stop comparing, stop questioning, and stop worrying. Anxiety and fear and worry does this to you. It makes you hasty in your decision-making process, and that's not healthy. God wants you to slow down and just let him work. Be patient. Be patient. I know that's a word we don't like to hear. Verse 23 says, out of Psalms 37, the Lord directs the steps, and I put this in here because I thought this was so good. George Mueller, who was a missionary, he was actually a guy that ran an orphanage, and he'd pray everything in. He prayed in the finances. He prayed in the food. He prayed in everything in his ministry. And in the highlight of his Bible, I was reading this about his life, in the margin of his Bible, in Psalms 37, verse 23, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly, is what it says. He delights in every detail of their lives. But he also stuck in there, and he put in parentheses, and the stops. So the Lord directs the steps and the stops, or a pause in your path, of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. A stop, if you're in a pattern where it's like you're in a holding pattern, or you feel like you're stopped, or you feel like God has hit pause on your life, it's because that's not a sign of God's rejection. That's a sign of God's direction. Amen. That he's redirecting, he's lining some things up, and you're still in that process of... we're all on the wheel of life, and God's molding us and shaping us. Psalms 37, verse 25, I love this scripture. It says, once I was young, and this is starting to bear more witness with me, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. And so everything in Psalms 37, what David is saying to us, is trying to help us to realize God's got this. God's going to take care of you. He delights in every detail of your lives. He's not going to abandon you. He's going to take care of you. Has everybody got that? All right. So that's all the spiritual things that I wanted to tell you today from God's Word. Now I want to show you, I'm going to flip the script a little bit, and we're going to talk about some practical things. This is in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And this is what I love about this. This is Jesus' word for you today, is do not be anxious. So if you're sitting by somebody, I know some of you aren't sitting by somebody, look at somebody and say, do not be anxious. That is just like Jesus telling you. And here's the deal. Jesus knew that we would struggle with this living. And he was preaching this and teaching this to a bunch of people that were worried and had anxiety and all kinds of stuff because of the government of that day, just like our day today, because of everything that was going on in society, in their culture. And Jesus saw it on their faces, and even saw it on the ones that they were trying to act like they got it all figured out, that he knew that these people were anxious, they had anxiety, they were worried. And I love what Jesus does, and he teaches them this. In verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. And this is where I got this, don't worry, it's for the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I love this. I'm going to go back to this. Taya's looking at me over here, and I know what she's thinking. Taya was like, Dad, you're getting old. I'm getting old because at my house, we have this little bird feeder, right? And it's a church. Jada, I don't know where Jada found this at, but it's you stick it in the ground, and it's actually a church, but you can put bird feet in it. And so I have positioned it where my chair is at in the house so I can have the door open, and I positioned it out there so I can watch the birds. I bought bird feed at Walmart the other day, and I put bird feed in there, and I watched the birds. So we've got cardinals, and we've got all kinds of stuff coming in. Had a woodpecker come in yesterday, and Taya noticed that I was doing this, and she goes, Dad, that is just a sign that you're getting old. You're sitting in your recliner and watching birds, and that's kind of where this whole message came from. Don't worry, it's for the birds. And I was picturing, and I know this is kind of a bad analogy, but these birds, they don't have a care in the world, right? But I went to Walmart, and I'm trying to say that I'm God, but I'm not God, okay? But in this analogy, I'm like God. I went to Walmart, got them bird feed, put it out there for them. They had absolutely nothing to do with it, but they're being taken care of. And in our relationship with God, God wants us to get that down in us, that God's got every detail of my life worked out and he's taking care of it. God is going to Walmart and taking care of your needs today. God's got something better than Walmart for you, I promise you. His riches and glory are a lot better than Walmart. But that's where that this whole thought process come from. And then in verse 27, it says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So there it is, faith. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things," which that just means unbelievers, "and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first," here's the whole, this is sums it up, "but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." That's the words of Jesus. And three times in there he tells us, do not be anxious. And he said, he even told us, look at the birds and look at the flowers. They're taken care of. And you're way more valuable than birds and flowers. And everybody said, amen. Jesus died for you and he's going to take care of you. Now, I'm four real practical things. This is my four in closing, okay? And I want to explain this. Number one, God wants to renew our minds, not just reassure them. Now, let me explain that. We can become habitually dependent on God's validation and reassurance for our fears, but we have to be willing to do the deeper work. And the deeper work is renewing our mind according to the Word of God. Now, I look in here and I see a lot of you that are parents. Some of you are going to be future parents one of these days. And a good parent doesn't validate every emotion their child has. A good parent teaches them to find strength in their challenges. So what that means is when they come to you with a fear, sometimes you don't need to, I mean, yes, you need to love them and hug them and reassure them of your love for them, and God does that for us too. But sometimes you've got to help them and teach them to find strength in their challenges. Even God says, I discipline those that I love. And that's part of it. So we have to do the deeper work. We can't just start coming to Daddy God and say, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. He's going to reassure us and he's going to say, I love you, but let's do a deeper work. Why are you scared? What's the bottom line here? Where's this fear coming from? Because the spirit of fear is not in God. We're going to see that here in a little bit. So he wants you to do that deeper work. And it's a process. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Here's what God began to show me. I'm going to use myself for an example. When I would get up and speak his word, and I told you about the fear that I had, and sometimes I'd be looking for exits to run, God began to show me, Mark, the fear that you're having right now is not from me. It's a spirit of fear. And the fear that you're having is a fear of man. And Mark, Jesus began to show me I could get up in front of people that were wealthy and I could get up in front of people that were poor and teach them the Word of God, but I saw them through the eyes of my Father as somebody that needed me, that needed the Lord. And so that's why you've got to get up in front of people that everybody needs Jesus. And don't let this fear consume you. Quit fearing man. Did that happen overnight? No. I still... cotton mouth, Lord help me, all that. But it began to help me renew my mind that I want to show these people the love of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Dusty. So, Taya, can I tell a story on you? Okay. I'm going to tell a story on Taya. I like telling stories on Taya. She's here. I was going to ask her about this because, and this really, I'm just trying to teach you about because we're all in here wanting to be good parents, and God's a good parent. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And a lot of times, what I just said, and this is a bit, this point is a huge one, because most of us never get our minds renewed because we're constantly coming to God wanting to reassure us of our fears. And God's like, no, I want you to overcome that fear in the name of Jesus. I want you to overcome it, overcome it, overcome it. And, you know, and we have to be a good parent. You've got to, you can't validate every emotion that your child has. Sometimes you validate it and you reassure them that, yes, you have. But sometimes not every emotion is from God. And you've got to teach them that. And this is a part of that process of teaching your children. And, you know, there was a time, the time, and I know that there was, and I know I'm probably going to get some emails on this, but I spanked my daughter one time that I do remember. And the book of Proverbs talks about not spare the rod, right? And I don't like spanking my kids at all. And but Taya, we had constantly told her about, okay, when you, and this is when she was oh, maybe 5-6 years old or something like that, that she was Taya was a neighborhood evangelist. Okay, we could not keep her at home. One of them kind of kids. She was constantly going around. I remember she went down the street to Mrs. Tullis's house. And Mrs. Tullis always had cookies. So Taya would come back and she's, you know, had a handful of cookies from Mrs. Tullis. She'd go up the road, and both these ladies have passed away now, went on to be with the Lord. But she would go up the road to Louise Harrell's house, my Aunt Louise, and she called her Aunt Louie. And she'd go up there, and Louise would give her cookies and stuff. And so she was all over the place. But we constantly would get on, you know, talk to her, Tay, it's okay to, you know, and you're outside and you're playing, but, you know, stay in the yard for the love of God. You know, and why you just got to go visit everybody. And she just this little butterfly, this little social butterfly. And so then we got to the point where, you know, Tay, now you've got to let us know where you're at. You know, you need to tell us. You need, you know, before you go, tell us, you know, why you're there. Have them call us. You know, she didn't have a cell phone at that time. We should have gave her a cell phone. But anyway, put a tracker on her. But there was one day, and it's just, we were constantly on her about this. Tell us where you're at. I think it's more mom and dad's fears that were going on about where she was at and what she was doing. Well, one night, she didn't come home. And she wasn't around. And it was one of them things where I'm trying to stay calm on the inside. And I can tell that Jada is panicking. And we don't know where Taya's at. And so we find out time had got away from Taya because she was playing with some cats that had been born, some kitty cats. And it was already dark, and we were driving up and down the streets here in Leedy trying to find her. And then there she was. She appeared all of a sudden at her house, standing there, you know, looking at us as we pull up. And I already knew that, okay, this is one I'm going to have to follow through on, that you're going to get a spanking for this one. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. But as soon as I got out of the vehicle, she runs up to me and gives me a hug and climbs up and she grabs a hold of my face like this and has me look at her and she goes, Daddy, don't spank me. I said, yeah, you're going to get a spanking. I'm sorry. So I had to spank her. But here's the deal. I followed through with that. And to this day, I mean, all through Taya's growing up in junior high and high school, that one follow-through caused her to all the time, now she may tell a different story, but all the time tell us where she was at and what she was doing. She would always call and do that. But we had to follow through at that age and correct that. And God does the same thing with us. He follows through and he corrects things to get us on the right path for the rest of our life. I'm trying to tie that into the message. But all of us, being good parents, that's what we want to do. We want to teach our kids. And a lot of times it's not all the time jumping on their bandwagon and approving their emotions and what they're going through. Sometimes it's they need to learn from the school of hard knocks. And everybody said, even though God wants to protect us from the school of hard knocks, even though as we as parents want to protect our kids from the school of hard knocks, sometimes they got to go through it to learn that lesson. All right, number two. Number two, we have to battle our thoughts with God's love. We have to battle our thoughts with God's love. Neurologists have determined that our brains were wired for love. They weren't wired for stress, worry, and anxiety. So we must focus on marinating our minds in God's love for us. And it takes renewing our minds. 1 John verse 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's why a lot of people don't come to church today, is because all they feel is judgment. They don't feel love. We don't want to be that kind of church. And everybody said, amen. That's not our place to do that. Our place is to love. We have to battle our thoughts with God's love. Number three, anxiety is not just a spiritual issue. Even though I gave you a lot of good spiritual points this morning from God's word, I want you to let you know that it's a body, mind, and spirit issue. That's who you are. You're made up of a spirit, soul, and a body. And so you must have a balanced approach to healing. It's not a Jesus or die approach. If you're in the ultra faith thing, it's like it's all, you know, you got to pray about it, you got to pray about it, you got to pray about it. Well, yeah, you do, and that's scriptural, Philippians 4, I'll agree with you. But there's other things that you need to do because you're spirit, soul, and body. And so I want to ask you this, and I have people come to me that I've talked to that, you know, anxiety, what goes along with that is depression, OCD tendencies, worry, all those kind of things. And I think the worst thing that you can say as a counselor, or even in most of you in here, you don't think yourself as a counselor, but you are. If you're a parent, you're a counselor. You know, you're going to be talking to people. I think the worst thing that you can tell is somebody that suffers with anxiety and worry and all those things, I'm talking to the point where they have panic attacks and all those kind of things, is this. Are you praying about it? That's the worst thing you can say. We need to take it more deeper than that, even though that is part of it. But we need to look at, have they seen their doctor? Are you sleeping enough? Are you exercising? Do you have a support system? Are you in counseling? Are you talking to somebody about it? Because all those things help. It's because it's not just a Jesus or die approach. You have to put all that into play. I have suffered with anxiety to the point of having panic attacks. And I use this because I went to a counselor, and I know I've shared this story here before with a lot of you. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. But I went to a counselor in Amarillo, Texas, an older gentleman, and he set me down. And I'm going to be honest with you, he revealed something in me that I didn't even know. And you talk about renewing my mind. I had a Jesus or die approach. It was either black or white. And he told me, he said, Mark, he goes, you're a pastor. This is early on in my ministry, and I've learned that it's not. Sometimes there's not just black. There's some gray. There's a lot of gray in life. And he said, you've got this approach, Jesus or die, Jesus or die, Jesus or die. So that's not allowing you to have some other things that God wants to bring in your life to help bring healing to you. And I was like, really? You know, this guy was opening my eyes up to a lot of stuff. And he said, well, Mark, have you ever went to your doctor? No, I'm like, I don't need a doctor. Yeah, you do. You can go have blood work done, get things out, all this kind of stuff. Are you sleeping enough? Are you getting the required sleep for you? Not for somebody else, but for you. Are you exercising? Thank you, Taya. Taya's constantly on me about exercising. I've got my own Jillian Michaels in my household, is Taya Haney. And do you have a support system? Do you talk about it? Do you talk to your wife about it enough? No, I don't. Are you in counseling? Well, I was like, I'm here, you know. And he said, well, but Mark, these are all things that God wants to use in your life to help you overcome anxiety. And you've got this Jesus or die approach, and you can't have that. Am I helping somebody this morning? I hope I'm helping somebody. Because I had that Jesus or die approach, and you just can't have that. And you may need to go to your doctor more than once. I had to go to my doctor more than once. And there are times when I know that I'm getting off, and so I need to, you know, figure out what's going on, what's out of balance. Is it something spiritual, God? Is it something that I'm thinking about? Is it something I'm going through? Is it, you know, something in my body? Am I not, you know, do I need to go back to the doctor? Am I not sleeping enough? Am I not exercising? I find out whenever I'm doing these exercising, guys, it's proven when you exercise, you release all these good things into your body to help you overcome this kind of stuff. Everybody said? You didn't know you was going to come to church today and hear about exercising, did you? And I'm preaching to myself. Number, Taya's like, yeah. Number four, We need to stop fearing fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Whenever fear shows up, and I'm not saying that it won't, because we all get, you know, have worry and anxiety and different things that come. But whenever that it does come, don't fear fear. Start going like this: "Oh, it's just fear. But God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind." Because some of you are taking it the other way, and you just run to your daddy God, and you're scared to death, and that's okay. He's there for you. I don't want to say that he's there for you. But God's wanting to, that's the deeper work that he's wanting to do in you, is to get you to realize, he's saying, I just hear God saying, you need to trust in me. This is a trust issue. This is a trust issue. And yes, I know you're afraid, but I want you to renew my mind to my love for you. I want you to marinate your mind in my love for you. And everybody said, did I help somebody today? I hope so. Didn't put anybody to sleep, did I? Okay, hope this helps somebody, because anxiety is a big deal, and the Lord knows that, and so you need to approach it from spirit, soul, and body approach to bring healing to yourself and to help somebody else that you may know that's going through it, because a lot of times we're just, you know, we just like to, as Christians, we like to throw that deal out there, oh, you know, you need to pray about it, and they're just like, yeah, whatever, I have, you know. And it may be some more things that they need to do and to take care of. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that we have learned something from your word today. And I pray that we would be doers of your word and not just hearers only. And so, God, I just thank you that this has equipped us to help us to overcome worry and anxiety in our own lives, but also to help us to help somebody else, God. And so, Lord, I just pray that even this week, that one of the things that we can do is to help somebody else in this area. And so, Lord, just let us know who that person is in our lives, in our circle of influence, and help us to minister your love and your grace to them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I know that there's people here today, and I don't take it for granted, the ones that are here today, and I don't take it for granted for the ones that are listening online or will be listening to this on the radio. And I just want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because Romans 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want the honor and the privilege of leading them in this prayer to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And even if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Everybody said, amen. Jada, I want you to come up here with me. I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak God's blessing over you. Put God on you so you can go out of here and take God in your week. Amen. All right. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. And tell somebody as you go out, don't worry, it's for the birds. Amen.